Chapter 4. "Jerry Castor," Jane yelled. "What the hell do you think you're playing at?" Tim, still aiming his weapon at their visitor, was automatically in detective mode. "Don't you know it's much more polite to actually knock before entering someone's apartment?" he said curtly. "You can put your gun away. Jerry's harmless." She held her hips. "Aren't you, Jerry?" The hulk of a man stood in front of her. Apart from the grin on his lips, he didn't look harmless. Strands of black curly hair fell from his 45-year-old head, while his 5 o'clock shadow was virtually a full-fledged beard. The white shirt he wore was unbuttoned as far as his chest hair. He looked like a faded rock star en route for a disappointing comeback. "Well, you didn't return my call, did you?" His British accent was mixed with years of living in Boston. "What's a guy to do?" "Call again?" Tim put in. "Leave a message, maybe? What if Jane wasn't here? Where I come from, we call this using excessive force. You can be arrested for that." Jerry moved past Tim easily and made his way to the whiskey decanter. "And where I come from, we call guys like you idiots. And don't talk to me about excessive force. I'd make mincemeat out of you." Tim had turned from a cute puppy dog into a snarling attack canine. It was quite a transformation. It was clear he had no intention of leaving, not now Jerry was here. "Are you threatening me?" "Boys, boys, come on now." Jane looked at them both separately, then back to Jerry. "So what was so important that you had to break my door down?" "I wanted to know how the drive-bys were going." "Drive-alongs, Jerry. They're called drive-alongs," she corrected. "Drive-bys make me sound like some kind of criminal. And they're going quite well, actually. I've learned quite a lot, thanks to Detective Angel here." Jerry poured himself a glass of whiskey and downed it in one easy gulp. "Detective Angel? You're the guy she's with every night?" He looked Tim up and down and sniggered. "What's so funny?" "I was expecting someone a little more..." He tipped his head from side to side. "Macho." "And here he is," Jane gestured to Tim, and meaning every word. She wanted to tell Jerry that being a detective was more about brains than brawn. But it was Jerry, after all. What was the point? She took the empty beaker from his grip, put it back on the tray and grabbed his arm. "Not that it's any of your business. Now you know who I'm spending my time with. There's probably no need for you to stick around, Jerry, is there?" The thought of spending any time with Detective Angel had never been far from her mind from moment one. He encapsulated everything she was looking for in a man, and a crime hero. "I wanted to talk to you about the novel," Jerry pulled from her grasp, making her wobble slightly on her feet. Tim watched every gesture, every movement, like a hawk. "Steady," he said. "Perhaps you'd better leave." "I'm not going anywhere, and weren't you just about to?" He lifted his hand into the air and waved a mock bye-bye. "Actually," Jane swallowed, "Tim was going to take me out to dinner. We're about to leave when you made your grand entrance." Tim took his cue and picked up Jane's jacket from the back of the chair. "Shall we?" "I'm not done yet," Jerry snapped. "I want to talk to you about the book. Alone." "Then why don't you call me in the morning? I'll even be in to take your call." "Listen, I've had a pretty full-on day. I haven't eaten yet, and I witnessed a real dead body earlier. So can you please give me a break? We can talk about your precious book tomorrow." "Good. That's great. Fantastic. A real authentic dead one. There was blood and guts, I take it. A dagger sticking out of his chest, perhaps?" "It was a woman, and for God's sake, Jerry, have some respect." "Fine, but if you find another excuse not to speak to me, I'll make life difficult, Jane. You hear me?" "Threatened behaviour is really unnecessary," Tim put in. "Why don't you just leave while you still have your dignity intact?" Jerry snarled again as he marched past them both. "Tomorrow. Got it?" "Yeah, yeah." She shrugged his attitude off. She didn't hold much by it anyway. "I've got it." She led him to the door and watched him leave, thankful to be alone with Detective Angel. "Well, isn't he a fun guy?" "You don't know the half of it." Jane shook her head. "He once told most of the publishing world we were an item before he even told me. That really was fun, especially at the launch of my second novel, rather appropriately entitled Lost in Lies." "You two were an item?" "In his mind, and only there," I hastened to add. "Sounds as if Jerry Castor has the hots for you." "Well, he can keep them. I'm not interested in him in the least." "Yeah, I think he's getting that, but sadly, that's also what's keeping him tagging along. I think he enjoys the put-downs and the rejections. Weird. So, are we actually going to dinner, or was that for Jerry's benefit?" "Oh, that. I'm kind of hungry. I lost most of my lunch on the coroner." "Then, in that case, it would be a pleasure. Of course, it means I would have less time to read the book." "What do you want to do more, read the book or have dinner with me?" He tried to look serious, but his eyes smiled, giving away his true intention. Oh no, wait. I know the answer to this one. I do. Jane took her jacket from him, grabbed her keys, and led him out of the apartment by his tie. Dinner time at Quincy Market was as pretty as it was gastronomically appealing. Jane suggested a sit-down meal rather than her usual temptation of a hot dog winning her over. Tim pulled out her chair as she sat down, something she'd rarely experienced with other guys. He really was charming her, and she loved every moment of it. "I have a question," she winced, peering over the top of her menu. "You don't like this place?" he asked, preempting her question. "We can go somewhere else." "No, no, I love it. I've been here before. The food's great." "Then the question?" "Is this a date or is this just dinner?" Tim winced too, as if nervous at his own answer. "Do you want it to be a date?" "Do you?" "I don't mind if you don't mind." Jane shrugged. "Sure, then it's a date. Is that, you know, ethical?" "We're not really working together. It's not like we're both cops or anything." "You wouldn't date another cop?" she asked, interested in his mindset. She could barely imagine him on a date at all, let alone with another cop. He had that puppy dog look back again, and she loved it. "I haven't, though I might," but then he heard his own words. "Only if I wasn't seeing someone else who wasn't a cop." With so many double negatives, she barely knew what he was trying to say. Jane wanted to grin, but wouldn't let him see her do it. He was squirming as much as she was. Why couldn't they just admit they had feelings for each other? Why couldn't they allow this to be a date? Life really was that simple. She decided the only way to get out of this awkwardness was to be candid, or as near as that she could be. "How about if you were seeing, say, a writer? Would that be okay?" Tim nodded furiously, as though his life depended on it. "So," she went on, "if you were to ask me out on a date and I said yes, would that be okay with your ethics?" He nodded again. "Should I? I mean, you know, formally?" "Is this lame? I've not dated for a while and I don't recall it being this awkward. Do you think this is awkward? I feel like a teenager caught with my boyfriend in a compromising position." He grinned. It was nice to see a smile on his face. It made her feel well on the way to being at ease again. The past few minutes had been more stressful for them both than she would ever imagined. "A little." He took a deep breath, closed his eyes and said, "Maybe we should start over." He put out his hand across the table and waited for her to shake it. "Hi, I'm Tim Angel. Can I take you out to dinner sometime?" "Sure. How about now? I know this great little restaurant in Quincy Market that serves the best seafood in Boston. Want to try it?" Jane nodded. "Great. Formalities over. Let's eat. That wasn't so difficult." "Oddly, it does feel better. So, does this mean we're going steady?" While the New England rain fell outside, she was the brightest ray of sunshine he'd ever seen. "We sound like a couple of kids. This isn't going to be weird at work, is it?" "I don't think so. I guess it'll only be weird if we make it weird. Dell will be okay with it, won't he?" Tim looked up from the menu. "Does he have to know? Would it be a problem if he did?" "I think it might compromise certain situations. If we can avoid any awkwardness, so much the better. Keep it professional." His eyebrows knitted with a serious frown. Formal was the magic word, it seemed. Shame he didn't date more often, Jane thought. It would have made him much more secure with the idea. After dinner, he drove her back to her apartment, presenting her with a business card. "What's this for?" "If you need anything, I'm just a phone call away. I know it was a pretty nasty day for you. Nobody likes to see dead bodies." She held it close. "Thank you. Get some sleep. I'll see you tomorrow." He leaned in without hesitation and kissed her lips firmly but gently. The softness of his lips melted her away. This was going to be some relationship if he brought about those feelings with just a single kiss. As he finally pulled away, he smiled. "That's another potentially awkward moment eliminated. I've been wanting to do that for a while now." "Eliminate a potentially awkward moment or kiss me?" Tim grinned, but he didn't answer. "I'm glad you did it anyway. Take it easy. Don't stay up too late." She opened the door and closed it behind her. No sooner had she got in, she switched on the computer and began typing. Something about Tim had provided her with more inspiration than her fingers could keep up with. It was going to be a long night.